Oh yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
helpful
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, taking a run, or even
sweeping the floor.
Yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio by our resident chef, Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. I'm very excited for today's podcast.
Me too. It's on a topic that's very near and dear to our heart, which is, of course, food. So since Andrea and I both always, the conversation always seems to kind of end up talking about like recipes and food and what we cooked, we thought it would be perfect to teach you guys some expressions related to food today. So, but before we do that, you said that it's great to listen to this while you're sweeping. So is your house really clean today?
I haven't done my sweeping yet, but it's actually on my plan for today.
So what is sweeping?
So sweeping is when you use a broom to clean the floor, to collect all the dust and any bits that are on your floor. So it's the way that you clean your floor. And then once you've swept, then you can mop, which is what you use with a bucket of water to then clean the floor. And then that's when it's very nice and pristine and all clean.
Do you often sweep and mop up the floor?
I sweep a lot, especially now that we're home a lot more. I tend to sweep every other day because it just gets so dusty when you're living in your house a lot more than being out.
Yeah.
But mopping usually once a week. It's not necessary usually to do it more than that. How about you?
You're a lot better than I am. I think I sweep like once a week on the weekend usually when I have more time, and like mopping maybe once a month. I'm really, really bad about mopping.
Okay. Well, I kind of have this this deal with my husband right now, which is quite a good one. It makes me happy. When I go out to do the food shopping, he tends to do the mopping. So I haven't had to do it the last few weeks, which is quite nice.
Oh, that's a good trade-off.
Yeah. What's a trade-off?
A trade-off is basically something that you have to exchange for something else. So you're trading off the chore of having to go buy groceries for the chore of sweeping, right? Or mopping.
Exactly.
Yeah. So also, I think after you've gotten your kitchen all dirty, it's probably usually pretty necessary to clean up, or to tidy up, as you might say in the UK, right?
Exactly, yeah. We say we need to tidy up.
And basically, maybe because you dropped some sauce on the kitchen floor or some different ingredients. So were you doing some cooking this weekend, Andrea?
Yeah, so actually, I think I mentioned in the first podcast that we recorded together that I really like Thai green curry.
Oh, yeah.
So as I can't order it right now because the restaurants I like are closed, I tried making it at home, and I'm quite surprised actually how easy it is. I mean, I use the green curry paste. I haven't made my own paste from scratch yet. but it wasn't too difficult. It's actually, as long as you have all the correct ingredients, it turned out really well. So I was really happy with it.
That sounds really delicious. I definitely would love some curry myself. I don't even know here in Barcelona where I could get green curry paste.
Oh, actually, I've seen it in a few places now. So maybe when we finish recording, I'll let you know. And you can try it too.
You're going to have to give me the rundown on the best places to find curry.
Yeah, definitely. What does rundown mean?
A rundown is like you're giving basically all of the tips, all the recommendations, right?
Yeah, exactly. And how about you?
This weekend, I made something that I absolutely love, which is enchiladas. Have you ever had enchiladas?
Ooh, I'm not sure if I've actually tried enchiladas, but they're Mexican, aren't they?
They are Mexican. So yeah. Coming from Colorado, there's a big Mexican food influence being so close to the border. And so we can get like really good, authentic Mexican food, which the same isn't so true in Barcelona. You can find, I think, a few places that have like some good, authentic food, but generally it's not spicy. So I like to make it myself. And that's definitely one of my favorite things to cook on the weekend.
So Ethan, do you have a signature dish that you're really good at cooking, that you're known for cooking?
I think people might say risotto. That's something that I like to make a lot when I have people over or even just on the weekend. It's especially because usually I have leftovers, which I can eat all week long, and it's maybe not the healthiest thing, but it's absolutely delicious with all of like the cream and cheese and mushrooms. And that's definitely one of the things that I most like to make, and people always tend to really love it when I make that, especially if you pair it with a good red wine, which we have plenty of here in Barcelona.
Oh, wow. I have actually seen a photo of your risotto and it looks really good. So maybe I'll get to try it one day too.
Totally, it's a deal. So, what would you say your signature dish is?
I'm not sure. I think it changes. Like I go through phases. Definitely, it's not very exciting, but usually in the winter, I like to make curries or stews because they're very warming and especially during those cold evenings, it's very comforting to have something warm like that. And then really now I would say it's my aubergine parmigiana, because I just love it so much. I think I've made it so many times that I've become quite good at it. It's usually pretty successful.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to try that as well. I actually tried my hand at that a few weeks ago too, and it didn't come out like the most beautifully, but it was really delicious.
That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
It's just the taste, right?
Yeah.
So that said, we'll be talking a lot more about food and all sorts of expressions that we use all the time. We actually were blown away when we started planning this podcast because there's just so many expressions in English related to food, and they're actually very common expressions. So maybe the reason that we're both so obsessed with talking about food is because we come from a culture that maybe values it a lot. So we're going to be talking all about that and how you can use it. A quick piece of news before we get into that. This week, actually, when this podcast comes out, we are going to be doing an Instagram Live. Me and Andrea are going to be answering questions from you guys. So if you don't want to miss that and future exclusive content, then you definitely want to make sure you go over to Instagram and follow us there at reallife.english. So we're looking forward to seeing you over there, and let's jump into today's shout out.
Okay, so today's shout out is quite a long one, but we're going to share it because it's a great one. So the title is Amazing Podcast, and it's from Barvish. He says, last year I have downloaded the podcast app and was browsing various podcasts to learn English during my free time. I have come up with a couple of podcasts which were good, but I did not have the motivation to listen every day as sometimes I was feeling bored or maybe unable to establish connection. But finally, I have discovered Real Life and tried one episode, and I was so impressed by teaching vocabulary and content delivery method. This is the best way of learning English for me. I have listened to almost all the episodes in the last 6 months while working. By that time, I have discovered YouTube Learn English with TV series, thanks, Ethan, which totally changed my habit and the way I am attracted towards various TV series. Despite living in Canada and the UK, I was watching Indian content, but your YouTube channel has changed my way of entertaining myself and learning. Thank you guys, you are amazing.
Yeah, Bhavish, thanks so much for that incredible testimonial to our different contents. I'm so glad to hear that they're helping you a lot. And it's really awesome too that you are living in Canada and the UK and you're kind of getting that cultural experience. I hope that kind of having these contents is helping you to fit in more and make great friends there.
Yeah, that's incredible. And to know that you listen to all the podcasts in 6 months and have made such an improvement, it just goes to show you that if you're consistent with your learning, how much progress you can make.
Exactly. So if you want us to shout you out, all you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to this, and leave us a 5-star review. And this also helps other people to have fun learning with us. So that said, let's roll over to our quote of today. So today's quote comes from one of my favorite chefs. I know a couple podcasts ago we talked about Jamie Oliver, who I think you've mentioned is one of your favorites. So this is from Julia Child, and she says that the only real stumbling block is fear of failure. In cooking, you've got to have a what the hell attitude. So Julia Child was really fantastic because she actually brought French cooking to the United States. She lived in France And while she was there, she became really obsessed with learning how to cook French food. And one of the things that she did that was really revolutionary was she took French cooking, which is notoriously very complex, very difficult to do, and she made it super simple so that anyone could kind of bring that delicious French cooking into their kitchen. So there's actually a really great movie if you're wanting to practice your English a little bit called Julie and Julia, which is about Julia Child, and it has Meryl Streep playing Julia Child. So it's a really great watch, especially if you love food. And kind of looking at some of the vocabulary here, what is a stumbling block?
So a stumbling block is something that gets in your way, and you can either stop, you can let it stop you from reaching your goal, or you can try and get through it, get over it, so that you can have success and achieve what you want to.
So she says that the only real stumbling block, the only real barrier, is fear of failure. And of course, she's talking about cooking, but I think this is very true for learning a language, that all the time, basically, when we're learning a language, we're just like so scared of making mistakes. We're scared of speaking in front of other people. We're scared of how we might sound. We're scared of that kind of feeling of being like a child. So this is like really great. I think this applies very directly to you learning English. So basically, Julia's solution to this is that you have to have a what the hell attitude. So what does that mean?
Yeah, so having a what the hell attitude just means be free, don't worry about it too much, don't think about it, don't overthink it. Just give it your all and think, what the hell? Even if I make the mistakes, I'm trying, I'm going to progress, I'm going to learn from my mistakes. And obviously she's applying it to cooking. And I guess when you're cooking, you can try and make different recipes many times, but like you've said, Ethan, it relates to your learning as well, like learning a language. You can still have a what the hell attitude in learning your language, trying not to be too self-conscious and just going for it.
Exactly. It's like saying, what the hell, if people don't like my mistakes, I'm going through the huge effort of learning a language, so I don't care what they think. So again, Julia Child says that the only real stumbling block is fear of failure. In cooking, or for us in learning a language, you've got to have a what the hell attitude. So that said, let's talk a lot more about food. Let's get into our main topic, all about expressions related to food. All right, so we have a very long list of expressions. I'm not sure we'll get through all of them today, but if not, we'll for sure do a part two, or maybe we'll even make a video or something like that just to change up the format. So to start out, maybe we could say that learning a language is not always easy as pie. What does that mean?
So if something isn't as easy as pie, it means that it's quite difficult. A similar one would be when you say that something's a piece of cake. To say something is a piece of cake would mean that it is easy, but maybe learning a language, not so much.
Exactly. So we'll say a lot, just piece of cake as well. If someone asks you, can you do something? You can say piece of cake, like it's super easy. And also, to be easy as pie, is pie exactly the same in the UK as it is in the US? It's like a pie in the US, we think of basically like a tart filled with different fruits or chocolate or something like that that you bake in the oven. It's really delicious with vanilla ice cream. Is it always the same in the UK?
I guess it is, yeah. I've heard it used a little bit differently, so I thought that maybe sometimes we thought of pie in different ways. But I from what you've described, yeah, it's the same. It would be something, that's in a pastry, usually baked in the oven. I suppose the most famous one for both of us actually would be apple pie, wouldn't it?
Yes, there's actually an expression, we didn't even have it in this list, but we say something is as American as apple pie. That means something is extremely American. I don't know why, but I guess we say that apple pie must be one of the most traditional American dishes. And also, kind of similarly, New York, another name for it is the Big Apple. I have no idea where this comes from, but
Oh,
you can
yeah.
say like the city of New York, the nickname is the Big Apple.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And also, some people refer to pizza as a pizza pie, don't they? It's in that song as
That's
well.
true.
Yeah.
And I think I was kind of thinking like I believe in Australia, another way that they use the word pie is like a minced meat pie. So like I think that that's very popular. I've heard in Australia are like meat pies.
Yeah, that's true. The same in the UK as well. If you go to like a fish and chip shop, they usually have some pies there that they warm up for you as well, like meat pies or vegetable pies.
That makes sense. We had, when I was growing up, a lot spinach pies. So that was like one of my grandma's specialties, is that she would make these really delicious spinach and meat pies. That's like one of my quintessential memories of my childhood, is eating spinach pies
Oh,
with
nice.
lots of a lemon. And I think also a really popular one in the US, but it comes from the UK, is the shepherd's pie.
Yeah, shepherd's pie is delicious, but that actually doesn't have any pastry. It's like minced meat with some vegetables and gravy, and then on top it's like mashed potato. And there's also cottage pie. So I think the main difference between shepherd's pie and cottage pie is the meat that's used, maybe the meat and the types of vegetables.
I've never heard of a cottage pie. What's the meat that's in it?
So I forget which is which. One uses beef usually, and one is lamb. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's used in each one. Do you know?
I believe a shepherd's pie is beef. Ground beef is what it would be called in the US. I believe it's a different name in the UK, right?
Yeah, we say minced, like minced meat. So we'd
Minced meat.
say, yeah, minced beef. And so that would mean then cottage pie is usually made with lamb. Yeah.
That makes sense. I've not tried it. I probably won't, because now I don't eat lamb or beef, but it sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about different things with Apple. Another one that we could say is that someone is the apple of your eye. So you might say this right to like your girlfriend, boyfriend, your husband or wife. What exactly does that mean?
So if someone is the apple of your eye, it's someone that you're really fond of, that you really care about.
And do we only use this with people that we love, that's like generally like someone that you're romantically involved with? Or can it also be with other sorts of relationships?
Yeah, I think it can be with other relationships. Like, I've heard parents say it sometimes, maybe about one of their children, like he or she is the apple of my eye, you know, that they're very proud of them. So yeah, it can be used for different relationships.
But you probably wouldn't say it like to your English teacher, right? Like, you're the apple of my
No, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Might scare them a little
Yeah.
bit.
But apparently that comes from the pupil in the eye, kind of, because if I guess if someone is so fond of someone and or really proud of someone, you can see it in their eyes, and it refers to the person's pupil kind of being like an apple.
That makes a lot of sense. We'd also say, like, similarly, you could say that to your children. Another one that parents say a lot is, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Ah, yeah.
Do you have that expression in the UK?
We do. Yeah, that's an interesting one. What does that mean?
That means that basically you're very similar to your parents, because the apple that comes from the tree, it's basically like the child of the tree. It doesn't go very far. So it's basically saying that generally we're very similar to our parents. We don't change that much from our family. So a lot of people, especially I think when you're a teenager, that we have that kind of rebellious phase, that we don't want to be anything like our parents. But despite that, try as you may, in general, we tend to keep a lot of similarities from our parents.
Yeah. Wow, there's so many just for apples. I didn't
Could have
realize.
done just a podcast on apple expressions.
Yeah.
It's kind of, and that one wasn't even our list, so it's kind of
Yeah.
just like they keep coming when you think about them. We were talking about cake though, and that something can be a piece of cake. We can also say that you might want to have your cake and eat it too. What does that mean?
So I've usually heard this in the negative form. So when people would say to you, you can't have your cake and eat it too, which would mean you can't have everything you want. So it's describing when someone kind of wants everything to be perfect and wants to have it all, but in situations that's not always possible.
It's kind of usually used a lot too with like two kind of contradictory things, that you want two things that can't really exist at the same time. So it's like, for example, it makes sense for us living in Barcelona. We can't maybe we want to be closer to our families and stuff, but we also want to live here in Barcelona. So, you know, if we were saying, if we were complaining or something about wanting to be closer to our family, someone could say, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't live in Barcelona and also be close to your family. So it's kind of like two things that are contradictory. If someone's, a lot of times you'll use this too, right? When someone's complaining or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good way of explaining it. But if you look at it literally, obviously we know that these aren't literal, but imagine having a cake in front of you and not being able to eat it.
It'd be very torturous, right? It's
Yeah.
always been kind of a perplexing expression to me.
Yeah, definitely.
So a similar one might be that the proof is in the pudding. When do we use the proof is in the pudding?
So the proof is in the pudding is when basically, if you want to know how something is going to turn out or you want to give something a try, you actually have to try it. So, if you have a pudding in front of you, you've got to actually taste it to know what it's like. So, if you, what it means in the real world is, you know, if you actually try something, then you'll know kind of the outcome or how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, the proof isn't actually trying, right?
Exactly.
And for us in the United States, a pudding is like maybe you would call it like a custard in the UK, right? It's kind of like a dessert that's creamy and stuff that you eat with a spoon. There's a very popular dessert that kids take a lot of times with them to school and stuff called a pudding cup. That's like a almost like a yogurt, but instead of it being a yogurt, it's kind of the sweet dessert. So would it be the same thing in the UK if you're talking about pudding?
No, when we talk about pudding, it's like another way of saying dessert. So lots of people, after finishing like your main meal, you'd say, "Oh, what's for pudding?" as a different way to say like what's for dessert.
So, is it also like a specific kind of dessert? Because I always kind of thought about like a British pudding might be like a sort of like a cake or something like that.
Well, you have a Christmas pudding, which is really traditional, which is with different dried fruits and nuts, and it's very rich. That is actually called a pudding. But off the top of my head, I can't think of any other desserts that we would call pudding.
When I was younger, one of my signature dishes that I made a lot when there was like a party or anything was sticky toffee pudding, which I actually learned about when the first time I went to the UK. I tried this and it like blew my mind. It was the most amazing dessert I'd ever had, and it's like it's sort of like a cake, but it's super moist. It's made with dates and coffee. It's kind of like a weird combination, and then you put on top of it like caramel and cream, and it's really really incredible. So if you're ever in the UK, I highly recommend seeking that out.
Yeah, it's a really sweet one. You can tell because I couldn't think of it. I haven't eaten a lot of sticky toffee puddings in my lifetime. But yeah, that is definitely one to try.
So basically, if you go to the US, the pudding is talking about custard, and in the UK, it's like any dessert. Wouldn't it be great if there were some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our three-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod. That's POD to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson. Okay, so we're talking about things that you bake in the oven, right? So like things like pastries. So another one that someone might say is that someone has a bun in the oven. What does that mean?
Yeah, so if someone has a bun in the oven, it means that someone is pregnant.
That's
So,
a really funny one, actually, I think.
yeah.
What is a bun?
So a bun is like a bread roll or some sort of pastry, maybe it can be sweet or savory. And so obviously it's like baking bread. You would make it and then put it in the oven so that it cooks. So it's kind of like saying if someone is pregnant, it's like, you know, they're cooking a baby inside their womb. They're like growing something. It's ticking. And that's, I think that's where that expression comes from.
It's a very hilarious image too,
Yeah.
but it's kind of informal, right? You probably wouldn't just say this to anyone that you don't have like a close relationship with.
No, and it's a cute one, you know. It's like someone would say, "Oh, she's got a bun in the oven," and it's like quite, yeah, just something quite endearing, or yeah, like you would when you're speaking to someone that you really care about.
That's great. So, continuing kind of with the ones that are related to baked goods, we might say that's the way the cookie crumbles. What does that mean?
Yeah, so that's kind of when you're in a situation where maybe you can't really change anything, you would say that's the way the cookie crumbles, because generally, usually, cookies crumble. It's a fact, and it's not really something that you can change.
There was a really famous news anchor in the US who like used this as his tagline. I can't remember his name. I think it's Walter Cronkite, if I'm not mistaken. And he would kind of like end every segment saying, "And that's the way the cookie crumbles," kind of like, that's the way it is, you know, that's the way things are.
Yeah, I remember that actually. I can't picture him or anything, but I remember someone like really emphatically saying that at the end of like a segment. Yeah.
Maybe we can find a video and actually post it in the show notes of this lesson.
Yeah.
So that's a really great one. If you're wanting to tell someone that's the way it is, that's the way the cookie crumbles. All right, so shifting gears, we kind of talked about apples. How about bananas? If someone goes bananas.
So if someone goes bananas, it means that they're going a bit crazy. Maybe it could be in a negative way. So they could be really angry. Or sometimes you go bananas if you're really excited about something. But do you have a different way of saying it as well in America?
You can also say go nanners. Nanners is like another way to say a banana.
Okay.
Nanners. So you could say like you're going nanners. And I definitely think that would have like more the excited kind of connotation to it, that you're super, especially like I think about kids, that they just get like really excited about something and they go nanners. They just are crazy hyper with excitement.
Okay. There's also a Gwen Stefani song where she uses this expression quite a bit. I don't know if you know it.
I do. I have it like now in my head. I can't remember what it's called though. Is it called bananas
No,
or?
it's called Holla Back Girl.
That's it, the holler back
Yeah.
girl. We'll have to put that in the show notes as well. It's
Yeah.
pretty funny music video as I recall.
Yeah, it is. I really like that song. It's great.
And what's another way that you could say to go bananas using a different piece of food?
So you could say to go nuts.
Exactly. I'm really curious where that comes from, that you go nuts or you go bananas. It means like you've gone crazy.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to know where it comes from. I feel like we use to go nuts more. I don't know if that's just me or if that's generally in the UK. But yeah, to go nuts is one that I think is used a lot as well.
Yeah, I think of like maybe to go bananas, I might think of more with kids, and to go nuts is probably more common with anyone. And we'd also say it like as kind of a command, like if you're kind of giving someone permission to have a good time, you say go nuts, enjoy yourself. Like
Yeah.
if someone's on vacation, for example, you know, go nuts and enjoy yourself, let your inhibitions go.
Yeah, that's true.
And we have a lot of expressions also with nuts. So like another one that we had here is that you can say something in a nutshell. What does that mean in a nutshell?
So when you want to explain something to someone in a short way, in a concise way, without going on for too long, you would say, so in a nutshell, and then this is what happened, because generally nutshells are quite small, so I think that's probably where that one comes from.
Yeah, it's like another way of saying in summary in a rather informal way, right? And if someone is paid peanuts,
Yeah, so this one is if you're not paid very well. We would say, oh, they're paying me peanuts or something like that. So I don't know where that one comes from, but it's used a
I
lot.
might think maybe like the circus or something. Maybe they literally paid people with peanuts or something like that.
Ah, maybe.
I always remember that you have like that when you go to the circus, a lot of one of the things that it could be very common would be like getting peanuts to like eat while you're watching. Or also when you go to a baseball game in the States.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me if this exists in the UK. In the US, we have some bars, especially like sports bars, maybe a brewery that also like creates beer. that they'll actually like have peanuts, and basically what you do, you eat them and then you just throw the shells on the floor. So it's like the floor is completely littered with peanut shells.
Yeah, I actually experienced that here when I went to the Camp Nou to watch Barcelona play football. Yeah, they, especially here I find, and actually in Madrid as well, when I went to a game there, they take these huge bags of peanuts with them, or sometimes like pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds. And I think it's just because of the nerves. So then they're anxiously like cleaning these and eating these. And then by the time the game finishes and you're leaving, you're like crunching all these nutshells as you're exiting the stadium.
Guess don't bring shoes that you like to a soccer game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Shifting gears, basically, going on to the next expression. We have two peas in a pod. What does that mean?
So, two peas in a pod is when you have two things that are very similar. So, sometimes you might have two friends or something that are really close and that are very similar, and you would say, oh, they're like two peas in a pod.
Yeah, it can be like that you get on really well with someone, right?
Yeah.
So, have you ever heard the expression to buy a lemon?
No, this one I haven't heard of actually. I've never used it. What does it mean?
So, basically, we say in the US that if you buy a lemon, it's used a lot with cars, for example. So, you go and you buy a brand new car, but then it has all of these problems. And what we'd say is, oh no, you bought a lemon. Like, you got one that's actually a new car, but that it has issue after issue. And you can also, I think, use this now with anything with technology. So, like if you get a new computer and it tends to have all these problems, you could also say that it's a lemon. You got a lemon. You bought a lemon. And it was really funny, actually, when I lived in Germany, I really loved the word that they have for this. They would call it a Monday car because it's a car that must have been produced on a Monday when people were kind of like tired and everything.
Oh,
I
wow.
thought that was a very creative way of saying it. I'm not sure why we say a lemon in the US for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to try and find out the British alternative, or maybe it is used and I've just never heard it before.
Could be that does happen.
Yeah.
Can you think of any other expressions that have to do with lemons?
Yeah, the one that I think of when I think of lemons is if life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Yeah, we say that as well. So that's kind of a proverb, right? And what does it mean?
It means if something happens that's not ideal, I guess it's lemons seem to be a negative thing with these
Yeah.
ones. So, if something happens that's not ideal, you know, try and bring some good out of it. So, if you have lemons, which I guess are sour and sometimes bitter and things like this, use it to make lemonade, make something sweeter.
Exactly. Maybe you could even make a margarita.
Yeah, or a
Oh,
lemon meringue pie.
that'd be
That
perfect.
would be great. Yeah.
All right, well, all this talk about food, it's getting me awfully hungry. I think I better go and grab something in my kitchen.
Yeah, me too, definitely.
And we have a ton more expressions. I think we just got maybe halfway through it, maybe not even. So we're definitely gonna have to do a part two of this. And there's a lot more great expressions to be had with that, but you probably have plenty now to get started with. And really challenge yourself to actually try some of these out if you're speaking, if you're writing anything, or even just practicing by yourself, record yourself, listen to it. It's a really great way to improve your speaking. So, do you have any last thoughts before we end, Andrea?
No, just that hopefully this was useful, and also maybe when you're watching TV series or some movies, you might hear some of these expressions, some of these idioms, and now you know the meaning of them.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Hey again. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all of the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, music, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah!